Welcome to Software Testing Unleashed, the podcast for testers, developers, and all software people who want to create best quality software. My name is Richie. I'm a software quality coach, author, and keynote speaker, and happy to bring you an episode live from the HUSDEV Conference 2025 in Budapest. HUSDEV is one of the greatest conferences I've ever been to. Top quality talks, amazing people, and that unique mix of friendly and intense atmosphere you only find at truly great events. If you have ever get the chance, go there. Seriously, you will love it. My guest today is Martijn Hossens. Martijn has over 19 years of experience in the QA field and is also a very active part of the software test community, especially helping testers and QA people to get on stage on conferences and support him to speak up. We talked about DevEx, developer experience or developer excellence, and how to build the quality into that. Based on the metrics by Dora and Space, we looked how we people can support this process. And now, enjoy the episode. And one tip from my side. As testers, we can quickly calculate how much a test costs. But the more exciting question is, how much do we actually save when defects don't reach the customer in the first place? For wind turbine manufacturer Vestas, this involves a lot of money. If their wind turbines come to a standstill, penalties are immediately due. Florian Wartenberg is responsible for the testing processes there and used precisely this argument to convince his management to make more and important investments into testing. He will tell you how he did this on January 28, together with Fabian from CQSE. Join for free at tul.fm/test. The details and the link you find also in the show notes. And now enjoy the episode. Hello, Martijn. Great to have you on the show here.
Thank you, Richard. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, so we had so much contact here in these days.
I
really like you because you're such a friendly, openness guy here. So I want to always get around with you here in the, at the conference. But it's also the spirit of the HUSDEV here. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's warm. It's lovely. It feels like coming home. And I get the same feedback from first-time speakers here that their experience HUSDEV as a very friendly place, but also like very warm, cozy, and everybody's really into it. So that's really cool.
And good content, a good spirit, and amazing, a lot of people here, 700 people, I think. It's great.
It's great. And I've came back to, or I started in HUSDEV like 3 years ago, and they were just starting up after the pandemic, and had 500 people in the aquarium club where we had the after social yesterday. And I saw them grow in those years to now 700 people again, and in this lovely venue. Being part of the PC as well this year was new for me, but also a great experience. So I'm also very proud of what we were able to put together. But yeah, as to the content and the speakers and the level of quality, man. We just had a track and I couldn't choose. There were three great talks at the same time and everybody's been saying that across the board. So
It was a great program and you did a great selection. I wonder how did I get into the program? But that's anyway, I was there and I was happy about the speech. You had also a speech here about Dora and Space.
Yeah.
To bullshit bingo words, we have to clarify what is behind that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So Dora, Space, DevEx, I called my talk Putting the Q, because it's a testing conference, the Q for QA in DevEx.
Yeah.
Like DevSecOps and all that kind of mindset. But since DevEx has been around since 2012, officially sort of, kind of. Initially, when I learned about this earlier in my career, like 10 years ago, I was thinking, hey, these are cool metrics. This is very closely related to what I want to do and am doing as a tester. I was still working in teams at that time. So it got me thinking. And now I've had an opportunity to do a project last year in the role of a DevEx coach. But I'm not a DevEx coach. I'm not a developer. But with these metrics and the focus, plus the challenge that was happening in that company was very QA and quality focused.
Yeah.
So I entered as a DevEx coach, leaning on sort of quality and testing, which was a challenge for them. But they tackled it from a DevEx perspective. How, as developers, are you struggling to do your work? And how can quality testing and all the things that I talk about help you in your daily job? I thought this is very interesting because now, as a tester, we have a different, you know, role and connection with our developer friends who are very close to us in teams and in projects to talk to them about our goals and our things that we achieve and the tools that we use and the things that we do to bring it all together in those metrics that we could all get behind, business, development, and QA.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the inspiration for the talk. Yeah. And that's sort of where I started from.
But before we put the Q into the DevEx part, what's Dora and Space?
Yes. Yeah, so good question. So first off, developer experience, DevEx, was sort of coined as a term in 2010, 2012. There was a scientific paper that sort of posed the question, hey, we're talking about user experience a lot, the end user, the user of our applications, apps, whatever. How about the experience within our teams building software? And after that sort of paper, a startup started working on this and trying to put metrics towards this mindset. And it boils sort of down to four metrics in Dora. And Dora stands for the DevOps DevOps Research Association, I think. The A might escape me.
Yes.
And they were sort of the trendsetters of sort of making these measurements into, like, DevOps was really hot back then. Every team was moving towards DevOps and ownership in the teams, and teams were now capable to deliver. Deliver what? How? Are you doing that well? Capable? Now, here's some metrics that you can measure, but then also try to improve. Okay, cool. That's where Dora started. Dora is officially 11 years old. I think 2014 or 2016, the startup was started. And then 2018, Google acquired it.
Ah, okay.
And when Google acquired it, of course, got a lot of attention. So much attention that internally in Google, they started using these metrics and started reporting in their yearly State of DevOps report. Aha. Now, time passes and people keep thinking about these metrics. They are very oriented on the how. How are we doing things and are we doing it the right way? Then came sort of another movement. It came from a different perspective, but of course some competitors. Microsoft, a university, I think the University of Maryland, and another company came together and they created Space. And Space doesn't stand for like a word, but it stands for all the metrics that they bring, which are very closely related because I can't sort of bring them up right now. Because my talk really dives into Dora, where I think it's more tangible for us.
Yeah.
But Space also looks at how are you feeling as a developer? Are you supported? Do you have enough mandate and directive on your own agency? Tries to identify that, measure that, and then you can try and help and fix that. But there's also the PEEF in Space stands for performance.
Yeah.
Performance of how you do your work as a developer, and that's closely related to all the topics in Dora, because if you do your job well in performance in Space, then you have a fast mean time to recovery, you have a low failure rate, all those kind of stuff, very tangible stuff. Dora, they enter in Space. I didn't talk about Space again because it's more really closely related to the developer space.
Yeah.
I hope to do this talk at developer conferences in a longer format where I can bring those two together. I did a whole like diagram drawing those out and then highlighting where the quality is in all of those aspects. I dropped that for this talk because I'm only talking about the tangible Dora metrics that we as testers have a very strong impact on.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool.
And what are these metrics where we can put in our quality power?
Yeah. So the Dora metrics are mean time to recovery, the change lead time, change failure rate, and did I mention mean time to recovery?
Yeah,
mean time to recovery, change failure rate, change, and the deployment frequency.
Ah, okay.
Yes. So deployment frequency, how fast can we, deliver changes which is super interesting because, you know, whether you look at it from a process point of view or you are very into tooling like CI/CD and pipelines and quality gates, there's always things that you can tweak to make that pipeline faster, smarter, better. For us, it means that we need to do parallel testing, have a right coverage in the test automation pyramid. If you only rely on very slow UI tests, you can do parallel testing all you want, but it's never going to be as fast without a test environment spinning up than all the unit tests that you could have written and run in that same time, right? So looking at those kind of metrics, deployment frequency is important. Change throughput. Forget the official name. But like if somebody comes in with an idea, which is everything we do in software delivery, how fast can you go from an idea to working out the requirements, a step that we sometimes forget, which bites us in the butt and then we have a longer, you know, change implementation time to understanding this, maybe pair programming so you can skip the peer reviews, do unit testing in pair, you know, continuous testing so you TDD, all those kinds of things help shorten that time that we come from an idea, and then including the deployment frequency, you can, you know, turn around in a week.
Yeah.
If that's something that your company wants, right, you can gold plate this. You can go ham and say, well, we can deploy any 5 minutes. So if you have an idea now, Benjamin in the back, he's our star developer, and he can push it to production in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you want that, right?
Yeah.
Is your setup safe enough? Do you have the right quality gates and coverage for the risk that your company deserves and desires? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then change failure rate, I think, is the most closely related to what we do as QA because we find those failures, right? And if we do a good job, we find all the bugs.
Yeah.
Typically not because we don't test everything.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of great talks at HUSDEF this year about value-based testing and the value of testing. We need to think about this. What is the most conscious way and what does add value? Because the highest risk is not necessarily the value that your company sees.
Yeah.
So there's a trade-off that we need to take into account because that change failure rate, you know, what does it really mean? It's a metric, right? So we need to, metrics are just metrics.
Yeah.
It's insight.
Yeah.
Like if I find a bug, is it an important bug? Well, we need to discuss this, right? It's a finding, it's information that we now have because I was looking. We now have these metrics because we're measuring.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really say anything. There was a question from somebody in the audience saying, yeah, but if we measure these things, don't they just, you know, dissipate or magically improve because people are doing small, tweaky, hacky things? I'm like, yeah, you know. And then we talked about the Cobra in India, right? Yeah. So you need to understand the value behind these metrics for your company. And what is an acceptable failure rate? What is an acceptable deployment frequency? Yeah.
And you did this as a coach to get into with your quality perspective. So more focus on the quality parts in this metrics. How did the team and the people react when you do that, the developers and the stuff? How did you get it into work?
Yeah, so in this role, I joined sort of the support team of DevEx coaches in an organization that had roughly 12, 13 development teams. They were sort of spread around and divided into like streams or areas, front-end, back-end, logistics, all that kind of stuff. And then we were assigned to teams crossing quarters, and then we saw and we discussed, we workshopped basically with the teams, like we see these metrics. We have some metrics. What do you think of the metrics? Well, you know, we have a high failure rate. We struggle to, you know, fix those things in production. So our mean time to recovery is very low. And our change lead time is very low because we're so occupied with fixing these issues and then the pipelines are slow. So, oh boy. So with these insights, we came to a lot of like, I think I know what's going on.
Yeah.
A lack of like control, quality, coverage, understanding what quality actually means to your product, to your team, what ownership is, where your liabilities are. Like all the conversations that we've had in all our career.
Yeah.
Like all the testers will like pick out things like, oh, I've done that. I'm doing this. I'm having these discussions now in my work.
Yeah.
And same in this project, right? It just helped that we had these metrics. And in my role as DevEx coach, I could support the team, but eventually they needed to sort of do it on their own. As a coach, you know, you don't want to be in their way or be the enabler.
Yeah.
You need to be able to step out. So through that process, we identified, we came up with some experiments, as we call them, because if they fail, that's fine. Mm. You know, we're going to try some changes in your process, in your tooling, in your whatever, skills maybe. And then after, I think we usually took 4 through 6 weeks, depending on like the implementation and experience that we picked up. And then sort of saw which one they liked, if some of the metrics improved, because we were checking on the metrics. Yeah. And then at the end, we did sort of a retro and a handover to the team. And then we would check in afterwards. Hey, how is it going? It's been 3 months. Are you still doing the things that we said you were going to do? Not always. Yeah.
And what are typical things that change then? Because when I see the metrics, or when I think of these metrics, I find it very hard to find an impact on this and then to change this in an existing environment in a team and say to do something new, to do an experiment.
That's interesting. Like in one team, it was the web-based team. They were responsible for the web portal, and they basically were struggling with a test environment. It was as simple as this. We have new features, but we don't have any test environment. We have an acceptance environment that everybody's using to test. So if we break it, then everybody hurts. And if anybody else breaks, then we hurt. And so one thing was just, you know, add a personal integrated test environment for yourself so you can speed up your testing and go to acceptance and confidence without being troubled with that area. That sped up the team. It gave the team more agency to look at quality in their own, in sort of isolation, as you should. And that helped that team very specifically with like all the speed, like, well, not deployment frequency, but the lead change time, mean time to recovery, you know, all those kind of things improved because we helped them with one of those issues.
Yeah. And what when you talk about experiments, how many experiments did you take? So circa, and how many of them do you resist after you leave or you after the project ends when you say the metrics are good? Did they all get implemented or did they just revert to a former state?
So this is human nature, right? If we do something or if we need to change something, there's always resistance. The benefit of this is that we come in like as a blank sheet and with an open hand to help out. We're first there observing and sort of like asking around, hey, what's troubling you? What's hurting you? Why are you not doing the things that you want to do? And then people automatically, you know, say, especially in Dutch culture, you know, ask somebody to complain, you know, they... Do you have half an hour? And then by understanding them and being there to offer support, a lot of people already sort of opened up and said, well, you know, if it doesn't work, at least somebody tried to help me. Because, you know, you were here to do that. And my manager typically has other objectives, wants me to go faster. And they already had like the support agreements with the managers and that kind of stuff. So ultimately, when we workshop ideas, the cognitive load of a team is something that you need to take into account. So if a whole team is complaining about all the things, you need to drill down on, but what change would make the most impact for you now? We will be back next year. We will be here all year if you need us. But for now, what's the first one or two things that we're going to change? So keep the barrier low, the entry level, and help them engage. Make sure that the friction of that change is low enough that people can get behind it, still see the carrot at the end of the stick, right? Because you introduce it as change. You know, you are gonna try something new. It's an experiment, right? We're doing something exciting. And, you know, with a positive mindset, but also a helping mindset, I think that brought a lot of like goodwill to anything that we brought. And then, of course, when you leave, as soon as you leave, people go back into their sprints. And then one of them will say, didn't we agree with Martijn that we were going to do and this and this? And then maybe there, you know, it will always sort of sink away. And then we come back and say, hey, how is it going?
Yeah.
Well, we forgot about the stuff. And I'm like, that's okay. It was an experiment. But how are you doing? Yeah, not so good, according to the metrics. I'm like, well, Yeah. Maybe we can try again, right? Yeah. And then sort of it picks up, and then they sort of see that it helps, and then it sort of sustains.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of cemented.
I think it's also important that that you have the small chunks and not doing everything at the same time, because then you can say what worked. So maybe this or that, you don't know it. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so with that, you can also very specifically pinpoint which of the changes helped. And if we did two, we typically would pick two in two different areas or for two different metrics. Yeah. So that way, if they try to change two things and actually try to uphold those two things when we left as a coach, you could track those metrics if it actually benefited them or if it just slowed them down. And then you can also say, well, this experiment failed because, you know, even though you did it, we don't see and you don't feel that you're improving.
Yeah.
That's fine. Mm. We'll try another experiment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I see. Yeah. When now someone hears this episode, it's like, okay, I want to do this stuff too. Mm-hmm. How can we start? So for our own, is there a blog post you can recommend, a community or a book or a YouTube channel or something like that? Well, how can we start to get into the topic?
Yeah, I think that's super interesting because all the material that I found in my research into this topic, coming and looking for a QA perspective on DevEx, I couldn't find much. One of the speakers here actually pointed that he published a blog or an article about this very specific problem at his company.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Tiago.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Tiago. About this last month.
Yeah.
So that's super interesting, right? If you want to find something, I think it's important to understand where it comes from.
Yeah.
Go look at the State of DevOps report that Google publishes every year. Look up what those metrics really mean, aside from my explanation. And I'm also about to sort of publish an article with all the homework that I didn't put in my slides. Where quality is to be found.
Yeah.
And like a very big overview with all the activities in testing that you can apply to any one of those metrics.
Yeah.
So in my talk, I highlight, for example, that test automation is very closely related to all four of the metrics in a sort of a different way. In the 25 minutes I had today at Hustaf, I couldn't really explore that and sort of extrapolate on that. But this is something that I do want to publish. And, you know, thinking of it, all the things I had on my slide, it might actually become a white paper.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of cross-referencing to do that we as experienced QAs can already do. But maybe, you know, more medium or junior QAs might need a bit more information or guidelines. But I think the slide that I have that I will sort of share online as well is a good starting point to cross-reference like the basics of DORA with QA practices. And then find those mappings in your company. You're doing stuff. How can you start measuring this that developers or your product owner or maybe like the CEO thinks, hey, it's really cool that if I have an idea and you can increase your change lead time, then I will be a happier person. And we will be a better company, indeed, right? We talked a lot about value at this company. If we learn to talk value as QA, I think it's super important for us to remain relevant, visible, because that's typically an issue, I think, with being in QA. So this is one of those ways that you can make your work more tangible, measurable, and you come to people that speak a different language in a language that's already been popularized by Google and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so,
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool.
So we also have to follow Martijn on LinkedIn and so that we get the white paper if it's finished.
Yes.
I'll do a little bit of pressure for you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much that you were part of the show.
Of course.
Thank you that you shared all this knowledge here to the community as well.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your work here. You're doing so much community work, networking. And
I try to.
Hope we see you soon in another conference or maybe next year here at the Hustaf. And now enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
Thank
you very
much. It's been
a pleasure, Richard.
Yeah, for me too. Thank you very much.